Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Carly from iCarly and Sam, also from iCarly. Like, I've been watching it because it's just easy. It's just easy watch. And honestly, like, they're in a fucking whole relationship. They celebrated an anniversary. Like, they had, like, this whole, like, drama about their gifts. Like, no, I'm sorry, but what? No, and I don't know. No. If you just look at it, if you just watch it, you see it. And then on a side note, like, I also think Sam and Kat was, like, Sam's, like, you know, next girlfriend. But anyways, that shit was gay.
So gay, dude. 100% agree. The gayest thing on, what, Nick?
Nickelodeon. Was it Nick? What up, cabroni?
What's poppin', chingoni?
Not a lot. I've just kind of been chilling. I was working a little bit the last couple weeks, which was weird for me.
getting back into,
like,
it?
Outside of podcasting and stuff. Like, I was outside of filming. Like, I was doing a real job for a little bit. Super weird.
Yeah, trust me, enjoy that when it ends, because it's great when it ends, because I'm going crazy.
It's great.
I'm going crazy. This, like, job shit, 9-to-5 shit is overrated.
Gross.
I'm, you know, nothing wrong with having a job. It's just, you know, I'd rather not. Like, I'd rather just have money fall from the sky and I can just survive off that. That would be nice. But yeah. So, we watched a trailer to something that was fucking dope. Oh my god.
Wait, I don't even know which one we're talking about right now, but the Scream applies to both.
Either or. I'm thinking New Order. New World Order? What is it called?
New Order.
New Order.
Yeah. I went last night to the movies because I feel comfortable enough to do that now. Weird.
What's up? vaccine gang.
And one Moderna. Of the trailers was this movie that I hadn't even heard of. And, like, when it first came on, I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, oh, another movie about white Mexicans. Okay.
We love it.
It took a fucking twist. And I was like, whoa, this is my shit. I'm so ready.
It's exactly what we want to see, because it's literally every white Dino we've ever seen in anything else. Everyone was, like, familiar. I was like, hey, I recognize all the white people. Yeah. It looks amazing. I feel like how can we even explain the trailer,
this
y'all?
Is like, what's that movie? It's called, God, what is it called? The Purge. It's like The Purge for Mexicans.
Yes, this is why it's exactly up our alley, because we're Purge fans,
yeah,
stands, and this is basically the Mexican Purge, but, like, it seems more political somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, it's way more current, way more like you know what I mean. It's not like this future dystopia. Like, no, this is now. It's like the later Purge movies where it gets a little too real. Yeah,
like, in the whole, like, green theme, seeing how that's the color that the women are using to protest femcide in all of South America. So I think that was, like, an interesting choice too.
Yeah.
With the green running out of all the water faucets. And
so interesting.
I'm so hyped for anything. And they're saying that, like, oh, you know, every person that owns a yacht should watch this. Yeah, all 30 people.
required viewing for anybody that owns a fucking yacht or whatever. That shit's amazing.
If you own a building, you should watch this. Like, listening to this.
No, I'm just kidding. If you're a white Latino.
If you own, like, a lot of Bitcoin, like, fuck you. Lucky motherfucker. Oh,
I'm trying Dodge to coin like, went like down. Just super quick, find out a little bit more about this. Someone's saying that it's Mexican and French. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Someone named, you know what, we're gonna end up covering this. I don't, maybe we shouldn't go that into it, but everybody, I'll put the link, we'll put the link on the website and probably even in the description of this, but go watch this trailer to New Order. Like, the trailer might just be fucking awesome. What if the movie sucks? Wouldn't that suck if the movie sucked?
I would hate that, but I don't know. I feel like their budget was extremely high. Like, they got every actor in Mexico that I know. Every single white Latino.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for this thing to come out. I can't.
I hope it's good. They're saying it's really good.
1 month to go.
1 month. May 21st. I'm waiting. I'm so hyped. Like, you were like, watch this. And I was like, I don't know. I was probably making dinner or something.
Yeah.
And then I finally saw it and I was like, oh my God. Like, mind blown. I'm so ready. Y'all should be ready too. But yeah, no, I'm hype. And I'm more excited for... not more excited.
I'm probably the same more excited. Because, like...
Mm-hmm. Gay.
Yeah, I just literally, like... Miss Eva Arreguin from Nicolás Radio decided to come and hang out in LA for a few days. And on one of my lazy days, I just put on Skate Kitchen. And we were talking about how much we love Skate Kitchen, how much we love Betty. So I rewatched it after she left. And then you hop in my DMs and you send me the trailer to season 2,
yes!
which is coming out Pride Month this year. And so that's like a month away too. Like, in a month, we're going to be like, sorry we missed a week here on Cabrón de Chingones, but like, we're also going to be coming through this summer with some bops. Like,
things are coming. Things are fucking coming. Like, I'm so hype. Like, the trailer. Chef's kiss. It was a perfect season. The only thing it lacked is it needed to be longer, and that was just for my selfish reasons. Like, I just wanted it to be longer.
I wonder, do you think that they'll get more than fucking 6 episodes second season?
I don't know. I really don't know because
I feel like
I don't
if
know
it's
how
coming
HBO
out
works.
In June, well, that's what happens, right? Like the Parks and Rec that started with 6 episodes in the first season, but I bet that information's out. So let me find out.
Yeah, I'll find out. Because my whole thing with Betty is, like, I don't know if it was, like, One Day at a Time where they had that second season automatically renewed. And, like, Harley Quinn show's coming back, too. So, like, there's a lot of things that I'm not sure, like, is it just, like, I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's going to be 6 episodes, according to IMDb. It's not always, like, accurate, especially when it's not out yet, but... That is what it's looking like.
I hope it's more. I hope it's like an 8.
I hope that it's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's looking like 6, but I don't know. Anyways, it's such a like light show that I kind of get it, but like we just want more in general. So I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing to watch when you're depressed and
it's a perfect show.
You want to be outside with your friends. Like, I think everyone wanted to like skateboard during quarantine. Like, I took out my skateboard.
I went to a skate park like at midnight last week and just kind of like watched them do their thing. It was fun. It was kind of interesting.
That's cool. No, like, I are you gonna be one of the people that gets into rollerblading?
No, God, Daniel's been trying to push me into it and I'm like, hell no. Instead I took videos of him eating shit all through the winter.
Just falling everywhere. No, I'm so shitty. I'm so just a scaredy cat. I'd rather skateboard than rollerblade because, like, that takes, like, talent on a different level. The tricks that they do on rollerblades, I'm just like, how, like, if my feet, like, I feel like both of my feet always go in opposite directions. Like, I don't even walk like that, but I feel like I just wouldn't be able to function. I was always embarrassing at the roller rink, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
But that's awesome. Yeah, I think the only other thing I've been watching is The Circle, which is finally back.
How is that? Is there gay people again?
There is. There's like a lot of gay. They kind of like really inundated it with gay men this season.
Oh, no. I don't know about.
Yeah, I didn't say women in that. Like,
I was like, gay men? I don't know. Like, oh, y'all, they're everywhere and they're great and everything. I love y'all, but
it's definitely
I don't know.
Like. A entertaining watch, but if you're like me and you hate waiting, I would wait until the season finale next week. But I've been watching it three episodes at a time, and it's definitely like it's dramatic. Chaos. Like, it's great.
I love it. It's like the most fun chaos. But like, there was a tweet. It was like, don't you think it's funny that we have a game where everyone's just trying to be the best sociopath? And I was like, ooh.
It's the perfect COVID show. Like, how did they not pop out like 10 seasons during this? I can't.
Exactly. Like, they don't have to even be in this. It's, like, the perfect show. But, I mean, I guess it is what it is. You got to find some really fun, interesting people to be in there. And last time, there was a guy from Dallas.
Yeah, they were hunting for people in Dallas. Like, I feel like, I think there's at least, like, 3 people from the Dallas area.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot in this season.
Look, if I see someone I know on there, that's going to be hilarious. Like, I can think of a couple people that would be really funny on screen.
Yeah. I didn't recognize any of them, but I was like, yeah, they're very Dallas. I see it.
Are they very Christian and gay? Like, is that the is that the Dallas scene?
It's definitely, there's 2 gays confirmed so far from Dallas, yeah. Oh, so I guess there's 4 that 4. I can think of, yeah.
I might watch it just because that would be fun. Like, yeah, it's such a fun show.
It is.
You don't want to know what I've been watching. It's so embarrassing, but I'm gonna out myself. No, that's not embarrassing. I claim that now. Oh, you know, okay. How last week on the Patreon, I was like, well, no. Hi, y'all. I'm Cynthia, and I have found Mexican Twice TikTok. And you know what? I found my Mexican TikTok K-pop people. And it's a very specific thing. That they're like mixing. Yeah. It's very, like, they're mixing Bad Bunny with Twice. And I'm just like, this is on the Venn diagram of things I'm, like, obsessed with. Like, this is perfect. Like, so, no, I'm not ashamed of that.
I was very happy when they mixed The Weeknd as a cumbia. Like, that was my shit.
El fin de semana, like, I'm telling you, the more The Weeknd grows out a mustache, the more he looks like he's from Durango. Like, I'm just like, he looked like my dad. Not like, Durango. I can't. Durango. But dude, I've been watching The Sopranos. Like, oh,
that's random. I think I tried to watch them and I couldn't get through the first episode.
It's so bad, honestly. Like, it's everything we hate in a show. And I was just like, oh, wow. Good. Like, I'm putting myself through it. I don't know why. Just because I can put it in the background while I work and not, like, worry.
That's like Carly for me. I get it.
Oh, you know what? I like Sunny with a Chance.
That was a great one. Yeah.
So underrated. Like, that made me love Demi Lovato. Like, shout out to Demi. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad she's alive. Please stay alive. And
Please.
I don't care what you say about yogurt. I really don't give a shit. Just stay alive, baby girl. Like, we love you. We want you on Earth. We want you healthy. I don't even listen to her music like that. So I just like her. You know? I
listen to her music. But we all know how I am about pop. Okay, that's enough for today. That's enough from embarrassing shit. Yeah,
we've done a lot of, like, admitting to things.
Yeah, what is this? Are we on trial? No, this is today about the U.S. versus Billie Holiday, not us. Yeah. So let's
do that's
this.
A good one. That's a good one.
Is that
one.
A good segue? That's not
bad. Yeah, you did good there.
Thanks.
Oh, Lord. I have none for mine other than, like, no, I have nothing. I have nothing.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so what are we going to be talking about today, Maita?
I'm covering the United States versus Billie Holiday. Well, what about yourself?
I am covering Minari. Ooh.
Come on, Oscars. We're better late than never, right?
Yeah, I mean, I only watched clips of it, to be honest. I didn't actually watch the thing itself.
Of the Oscars? I didn't watch any of it, not even clips.
Oh, wow. No, I only did it because it was obligatory for this.
Oh, was it? You know what I did? Yeah. I think I saw this by accident, but I think it was, like, clips of them interviewing the young boy from Minari.
Oh, okay.
Which was really cute.
Because when they interviewed our Oscar-winning, I'm going to say her name incorrectly. Forgive me, all Korean speakers. I'm so sorry. Young Joon-jeon? She plays the grandmother. Yes.
Of course,
and,
she won. She's amazing.
The first thing they had to ask her after she won her Oscar was how Brad Pitt smelled. And she was like, honey, I'm not a dog. Next question. Like, you're embarrassing yourself and your whole family. Walk away. Like,
I love her. Let's do it. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Minari.
Okay. So let's talk about Minari. It's directed and written by Lee Isaac Chung. And the movie actually has won a couple awards. It won the Best Foreign Language Film at the Golden Globes, which is absolute bullshit because this is an American-produced and American-made film. Like, the only thing is that it's a foreign language, which is absolute bullshit because America's a melting pot. And what is English? That doesn't even make sense
either.
What is foreign? What is foreign when this whole country is about immigration? So, fuck that. It should have won Best Film. But anyways... It's also an Oscar. They have an Oscar winner in there. And apparently she's super famous in South Korea. Like, we don't know anything about her because we're ignorant, honey. But she's been out here, okay? She's been fucking famous in South Korea. And apparently when the director got her to be in the film, that's when his family was like, finally, you've made it. Like, you're famous now. Like, you got her. Yeah, like, we accept you. Your weird art projects are actually a real thing. and it stars Steven Yeun as Jacob. He is, I don't know if he's, like, the lead, but he's, like, he should have been nominated for, like, best male, whatever. You know, there's a lot of, they could have all been nominated to me, honestly. Especially Yeri Han, who plays Monica, the wife. She should have been nominated. That was, like, best supporting actress role right there. And then David is played by Alan S. Kim. He plays the tiny little baby boy. And Noel Cho plays Anne, the daughter, the oldest daughter, the only daughter. She's always holding everything up. But anyways, this movie is everything that we ask for as far as representation, like real representation. When we say that we want representation, this is what we mean. Things like Minari. So he's going to pass the Toni Morrison test. So his whole thing is that even while he was thinking about writing this, he thought about coming from a place of his own truth, his own memories, telling a story that he knows. He wasn't trying to pander to, like, the Asian community. He wasn't trying to pander to Western audiences, or else this shit would be in English. So he passes the Toni Morrison test because he gives a shit. He doesn't give a shit about Western audiences. He's writing about his real lived experiences, things that, you know, that's what we mean by representation. We don't mean stereotypes. We mean your reality, however, whatever that looks like. And he was very honest about that, because there's a lot of things about, you know, being a child of an immigrant that just oof, oh my god, tears. So he's definitely gonna pass the Toni Morrison test. This is what we mean. He doesn't give a fuck about y'all. He's not gonna, if you don't understand it, you better read a subtitle, get over it. What I think was really interesting about what he was thinking about when he was first going to make a movie, he thought about adapting like a Willa Cather novel. And Willa Cather is important because she's also, excuse me, she's probably was queer. Like, talking about like an old, like, fucking writer who never married a man and just lived with a woman her whole life. But anyways, that's an aside. She wrote about, like, her own truth. At first, she was writing about, like, high society. She changed her mind. She said, I'm going to write my truth. I'm going to write my memories. And that's what he inspired him to write his memories and his truth. So this is about his family, about a man named Jacob who goes to Arkansas and in the 80s, to start a farm, which sounds kind of crazy, but that's what all American dreams sound like.
That was the 80s?
It was the 80s, dude.
Why did it feel like the 60s or something?
Well, I mean, the South, they were
20 years behind.
Rural South is always a little bit different from the rest of the world, you know? Like, they,
yeah. God, it seems so old. How interesting.
It really do, though, because they move into this trailer home, and he buys, like, I'm just going to throw out a number, 50 acres, because that's what I think I remember, to grow crops. Wanted
50 acres, but it was a lot. It was like a huge plot of land, like more than 5 acres
for sure. Yeah, maybe like 10 acres. It was huge. It was a huge plot of land that he buys, and he just takes his family out there and decides he's gonna live his fucking American dream. And a lot of it stemmed from the idea that he lost land during the Korean War, and that he would do this back in South Korea, or his family did this. And so I feel like for him, this was like his American dream, to own land, to regain something of himself. And there's this whole idea of like American capitalism and the American dream that he's trying really hard to make happen, whether he's putting his entire family at risk or not. And of course he is, because in a lot of ways he's putting this farm in front of his wife, his children. And that's kind of a little crazy, a little selfish, but most capitalism is, and he's trying to buy into that. He's trying his hardest to make this farm work, and he's kind of just failing, and he's alienating his wife, and he's kind of just all over the place. He's struggling the entire movie, and you can tell between the fights between him and his wife Monica. And his wife Monica feels alienated and out of place, and who wouldn't? Like, you're in rural Arkansas in the 80s, and there's not a lot of other Asian people in that community. So she spends her entire time at work or at home, and work is kind of, it's hard. It's difficult. She's chicken sexing, which apparently is like really difficult to do. You can't actually tell the difference between a male and a female chicken. I didn't know that. Okay, I don't know why that matters, y'all, but still, it's intuitive. It's very interesting. It's not everyone can do this job. It's really difficult to do. And of course, she's working, you know, and that's a hard job to do, and most immigrants are the ones doing it. And that just feels really personal, and that feels very real to the immigrant experience, to have your parents doing these like factory jobs where they're kind of earning a low wage, but they're working their ass off. And I just never am going to understand people working their ass off and not getting paid for it. So that's a whole nother thing. So she's alienated, and they're getting into fights all the time because he's doing a lot of risky shit. So she brings the grandmother over, and that's when the movie really starts to come together. Sunja is the grandmother, and she comes over and she changes the entire dynamic of the family. And I feel in a lot of ways she brings them together, and she also brings the Minari, and she plants it. And this is a little plant that she explains to David, that can grow in most situations, most environments. You can cook it in most Korean dishes. It's just like the most sturdy like plant you can have. And it's kind of like what chile for Mexicans, like put chile in everything. Like that's kind of the same thing. I would compare it to that, but it's not going to be the exact same thing, of course. She plants this Minari, and from then the whole movie is just about this family struggling to have this American dream, struggling to find themselves within the American dream. A lot of that has to be undone in the movie. There's this struggle versus their past selves and the idea of themselves that they're fighting in this new weird world where they're kind of outsiders, and the children aren't, though. And that's another thing about immigration I thought was really interesting, is that David is like actively rejecting his grandmother because she's, you know, she smells different. She's acts really Korean different. And
smells. She smells like Korea, is what you were saying. It's so interesting how this film like highlights and rejects and also like, you know, calls out Americanness. It, like, if you're when you're watching the movie, for most of it, all of the family they're dressed in red, white, and blue, like, and they stand out against nature in that way, you know.
Look at you.
And then
that's cool.
Yeah, there's that, and of course there's the difficulty with David and his grandmother, but there's also like there's an implication, and this is not super spoilery, but there's an implication that like this non-western medicine has helped one of the characters to try to keep it non-spoilery, but like non-western medicine has done what western medicine can't, aka like the foreign, quote unquote, like has, you know, been like way better than Americans, way better than capitalism, you know, like these doctors haven't done shit. So I don't know, I love that about this film the most,
right? Like, because for us as children of immigrants, like there's a lot of things that maybe we don't completely understand because we're not like children of like Korean immigrants, but there's a lot that we do understand about like the differences between their culture and our culture. Like, it's so fucking different. Like, David and Anne are growing up in this very rural, like, 80s American world where they're drinking Mountain Dew all the time. And their but parents
it
are, also, like...
It kind of compares, mm-hmm. though. I thought there was a lot of, like, similarities. The way that Mexicans are with, like, Coca-Cola from Mexico. Like,
yeah, same
it's
shit,
a
yeah.
whole vibe. Like this,
obsessed.
How does it... You know, the way that capitalism seeps into the culture in a way, I don't know. That's interesting.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. You know, like, our loyalty to Coca-Cola, his loyalty to their loyalty to Mountain Dew, and how, you know, no one's really fitting into these ideas. No one's fitting into these boxes of, like, of anything, right? The grandmother isn't, like, this... She is nurturing, but she isn't, like, this wallflower. She's, like, a bad bitch. She's, like, teaching them to gamble and, like... drinking Mountain Dew and just like living her life. Wasn't she watching like what was she watching on the TV?
She was watching wrestling.
Yes, wrestling.
It was
and she
so
got super into
her
it.
Wrestle.
And but that's the beauty of that. Like, and he said, you know, Director Chung said that he wanted to create a movie where she could be seen, where his grandmother wasn't invisible in the world. And I was like, oh man, I need a minute, because I mean, that kind of representation, it's not even, it's just true, it's just honest. It's not, you know, there's no stereotypes, there's just honesty. You know, she wasn't this perfect woman, but at the same time, she's definitely the most, I don't know, emotionally stable, the most reassuring character in the entire like movie.
She's like, she's the least like susceptible to all this, the bullshit, like what mm-hmm. the kids say about her, what society yep. says about her, like what anybody, she's like the ultimate rejection of all that is like American culture, you know what I mean? Like, because she just does her shit, and like if she likes something that's part of American culture, like wrestling or Mountain Dew,
she then, enjoys it.
Yeah, she's not gonna sit there and be like, no, I'm Korean. Like, no.
Like the mother.
Yeah.
The mother is still like feeling homesick, and she's still alienated, and you know, when you're alienated from something, you hold on to it more. And I feel like the grandmother, she figured out, like, she just knows life. She's figured it out. She knows how to be happy outside of everything. It's just about her own self-love. And not to get spoiler, but something does happen to her, and that energy kind of gets taken away, and she's kind of, you know, she has to take 20 steps back. You know, all that she was changes, and then the family changes. But ultimately, they find that it's not about the individual, it's about the unit. And I think that's really beautiful, and I think, you know, community saves the world, right? And in that same sense, that family saved each other and saved themselves. And I thought that was really beautiful, because each of them was dealing with their own bullshit, but towards the end, they find that in the process of trying to be individualistic, in the process of trying to get something in this world, they had to reject that and realize that it has nothing to do with any of those outside factors. It's just about the family and the unit. And I thought that was beautiful. They're stronger together. It's kind of like, you know, it's fucked up, because this made me think of Succession, how they're each fighting.
If there was an opposite to Minari.
No, but get this. Succession, the only time that they're successful as a unit is when they work together. Each of them has something that when they put it together, it works well. But because they're all capitalists, they're each seeking individuality. And because they do that, they fail. But in the few times in Succession where they work together as a unit, which is rare, they actually are very successful, and they are able to conquer a lot of things together, just like this family is. And I think that was mad beautiful to make this story about a family. And to me, it was very important to see a grandmother like that. Just, she's a full person. She's a human. She isn't a caricature of anything. No one is in this movie, not even the rednecks, not even the white people in this movie. They're just people, and however ignorant, they're not terrible people, they're just people, you know. Everyone's just trying. There's a, you know, a guy that comes and helps Jacob on the farm, and he's a little weird, but they accept him, and he's very nice, and he prays with them, you know. It was really beautiful to see that kind of honesty, and the way that he wrote David as being like kind of a little jerk and being a little mean kid, and that felt real too. And I liked how honest that was, and how he didn't pull that punch. He said, you know, I'm gonna be honest about this little kid and how he was, and we're gonna see it. And you know, there's, I guess this isn't too much of a spoiler, where David gives his grandmother urine to drink, and it sounds crazy, but grandma handled it like a bad bitch. She was just like, y'all are overreacting, it's not that serious. Like,
she's the, like, best. And to, since we're already getting a little spoilery, I have to say that I love that from the beginning, mm-hmm. there's like the way that the marital problems are portrayed, because in everything, especially when it's not current or modern, you always see like the man being like very controlling, very like possessive, very machista. And in this, it's that's not the case. Like, yes, he's definitely like putting the American dream above his family and stuff like that, but she's calling him out on it. She's telling him, I'm gonna leave. He's saying, do what you want, because mm-hmm. he knows he can't control her, you know what I mean? There's never the sense of like, oh, she's in danger because of her husband. It's like, no, he's in danger of her leaving. And and I thought that was an amazing thing to include there. It was just, it was so against what you always see in these types of situations.
You mean traumatic?
I mean, like, it was emotional. It was, like, sensitive. It was real. And, like, in, instead of just, like, oh, man being man. Like, no, it's not that.
You root for him. Like, you really do. You don't... He's not a terrible guy. He's just a human who's making mistakes. And, you know, Monica is silently holding back. Not holding that much back, but she there's still, like, a lot of... She resents that she contains, like, got dragged out along to in this, yeah. rural Arkansas in the 80s when she's like, we was in LA and you brought me out here, dude.
We were in,
like,
California and now we're dealing with floods. No.
Yeah, like, now we don't have water because you use the water for something else. Like, you're making bad choices. And she gave him a lot of chances, but ultimately he made the right choice. I mean, that scene, okay, spoiler alert. There's the barn scene. Like, I legit was like, what the fuck are you doing? Who runs into that? Like, no
I
way.
I was, like, I'm not... clenching the chair. I was like,
something bad's gonna happen.
Like, because, yeah, it's an awful feeling, you know, because there's just so much, like...
There's so much there.
It's so his much American that dream. You can lose. Not just, like, that's when you, you know, that's the ultimate decision. It's like, you're losing... Yeah, you're losing this capitalist dream, but, like, you could also lose your whole family.
Yeah, like, you gotta, priorities. Like, if I see my barn burning, I'm not going in. I'm being like, well, damn, that shit on fire. Anyways, 911. Like, to me, I was like, this motherfucker ran, he ran in there? Like, bruh, you tripping. I would have just dipped on out. Fuck them fruits, fuck them vegetables, whatever I was growing. It's gonna smell really good when it's on fire. It's gonna smell like, you know, but fuck it, I ain't going in there. Like, he's wild for that. No way. So yeah. Priorities, he finally got him. He finally got his priority. And then, oh man, when David ran after his grandma and, like, he ran for the first time, like, y'all, I was running. Like, I didn't cry the first time, but the second, not even, I haven't seen it a second time. Just thinking about it, letting myself feel feelings about it, because I think maybe I've repressed it, and I just, dude, I almost cried, like, 4 times today just thinking about this movie. So
it was
just
an emotional moment, because, you know,
that immigrant experience. So, I mean, I give this movie 5 Palunces. Go watch this. It's worth the money. Please give director Chung your money. If it costs $20, give him the money. Do it. It's worth it. You know, like, it's really is. 5 Palunces. What would you give it?
Yeah, no cafecitos. I mean, I watched it in theater. It was lovely. It was amazing. Give them your money. Like they said, if you're vaccinated, especially. Yes. It was so good. It was, like, and especially, like, it's one of those movies that you can reflect. It's so A24. You can reflect on it, and then you just, like, love it more and more.
Dude, yeah, that's what happened with me. I'm, like, the more I think about it, the more I love it. And I'm just, like, foreign film. Like, that ain't no foreign film.
So the most, like, American film, yeah. I mean, like, just because they didn't speak English, like, for most of it, like, that doesn't mean, like, I don't know.
It's what dumb. Do they define as American? That's absolute bullshit, because we don't define it that way at all. That's the most American movie I've seen in my life. So,
what even won? Like, what won the Oscar film?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
Let me.
This is our Oscars episode.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow, that's interesting. That's really hypocritical of the Oscars. So, Nomadland won for Best Picture. Okay. The year that most people are homeless, and with a giant homeless population in LA, they went for this movie. Okay. All right. Hypocrites.
I have strange. Not seen it.
Oh, yeah. Chloe Zhao. Shout out to her, because we've done covered her Zhao. Over here. 100. Look, we covered her.
Yeah, we've talked about her. We love her. We're looking forward to everything she's done in her entire life.
She's making a Marvel movie. Shout out to nepotism. Shout out to her being a child of a billionaire. She's so sensitive.
Really?
Yes. Yes, she is, dude. She's a child of a Chinese billionaire. And she's, you know what? Cool, she's a bad bitch. To be a billionaire and not to talk about being rich.
If I was a billionaire, I would also make a lot of movies. Like, you know.
Explore American poverty. Because that's what she does. She before that, she was actually filming about indigenous people in the United States. Like, that's insane. That's so, like...
Yeah, I hope she, like, gave the money.
Anyways. Yeah. The silence. Oh, man. I'm excited about your movie today.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, like, off the bat, I kind of saw a similar thing happening from Minari to the U.S. versus Billie Holiday, but that was pretty much it. There was really just the one time that I was like, oh, these two films are similar. The one other time is the fact that the U.S. versus Billie Holiday is directed by Lee Daniels, so they have the same first name of the director. That's about it.
That's it?
Yeah. I'll tell you about the other one later, but okay. Let's get started. The United States versus Billie Holiday. It was released on Hulu on February 26, 2021. Originally, it was supposed to have a regular theatrical release in theaters. But as you guys know, or maybe you don't know, based on your like lack of mask usage, but there was a pandemic. And so they couldn't really do that. So they sold the film to Hulu in December in the hell year of 2020. And here we are. So this film was kind of on our radar a while ago because Billie was known to be queer back in her day. And in the past in movies, like, that's kind of been omitted and not explored. Even in this iteration, I would argue it's not really explored, but I suppose it is touched on to give whatever credit that is due. The film was based on a book called Chasing the Scream, The First and Last Days of the War on Drugs by Joanne Hari, which is very much reflected in the movie. It's also directed by Lee Daniels, as I already said. Daniels, he also did Precious, which also was nominated for several Oscars. He also executive produced Empire. Like, dude has, like, credit. Yeah, he has credits under his belt.
He's successful. Yeah.
Successful dude. He's black and he's gay. He's, you know, everyone was like, oh, he's gay, he's a gay director, he's gonna bring in all the gay shit with Billie Holiday, and he was like, I mean, like, a little bit.
Yeah, no. He said no.
But anyways, the real star of the film literally is Andra Day. Not only was she Billie Holiday herself, but she brought, like, the only Oscar nomination. She single-handedly made the film worth watching. Andra Day, as we all know, she's an amazing singer. She's an amazing artist. But this is, like, the first major acting role that she's ever done. Like, everything else has been, like, music videos or, like, whatever, like, a commercial, things like that. But she immediately got the nod. Imagine, like, your first major role and they're like, yeah, give her an Oscar.
She deserves that shit.
She does. It shouldn't be that surprising, though, because everything she touches turns to gold.
Ooh, okay.
It does, literally. Like, if you look at, like, she literally, like, performed on, like, The View one time and it won an Emmy. Like, who does that?
Oh, shit. I mean, she's so talented, though. Like, it's deserved.
Andra Day literally lost, like, almost 40 pounds for this role, and I bet there won't be, like talking about this shit like they do with all those other, like, white male actors who do the same thing. She 40
pounds?
Yeah, she stopped eating, she started drinking, she was a non-drinker, and she started smoking so she could get, like, the voice raspiness. She did all of these, like, major talks. She went full method for this role.
Ooh, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she was, like... afterwards she was like, I don't think I'm ever gonna act again, because that was a lot to do well in this role, you know, because she doesn't half-ass anything.
You say so she started drinking and smoking.
She started drinking and smoking for this.
That's
role.
Bad for her voice.
It is, but it also was, like, for the Billie Holiday voice, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know, it was a lot. Hopefully she gets to be in a film where she doesn't have to, like, torture herself in the future, because she's a really good actress.
Lee Daniels loved Black Trauma, so I don't know.
God. Precious. Anyways.
Yeah.
Obviously, this film is about Billie Holiday, but the name is based on a court case, which is pretty much, like, really briefly covered in the film, the U.S. versus Billie Holiday. But from the beginning to the end, this is, like, really about a song called Strange Fruit that the federal government really hated. which made them hate Billie Holiday because she sang it. And then throughout the film, we see the feds come after her over and over for two reasons. One, they hate that the song Strange Fruit reminds them of how racist they are. And two, because they're racist. Like, I just don't understand. Like, they're just sitting there trying to deny a very simple fact and being racist throughout it, like, doing exactly that. But what Strange Fruit is a song that was based on a poem written by Abel Meeropol. I might be saying that wrong. The song is also written by him, and that was all done in 1939. And the song is about the lynching of Black Americans. And even though the song and the poem are nearly a century old, it's still relevant today. Like, I know you guys remember seeing in the news all that shit about people being lynched, I think, like, last year. Like, it's, this shit is not old, you know? It's just, I don't know. But in the film, the feds used the excuse that the song incites violence and riots to stop her from performing it. If that, you know, fucking jargon sounds familiar, it's because it's still very relevant today.
Man.
And then they decide that they're going to set her up and arrest her for drug possession because they can't do it for singing a song, right? Mm-mm. So, yeah, they kind of end up heavily focusing on one particular Fed, Jimmy Fletcher, who is just one of many men that come into Billie Holiday's life and screw her over. Mm-hmm. And he comes and goes from her life quite a bit. In between, there's other men who treat her like shit. And there's only probably one, like, less abusive relationship that she's kind of shown in with Tallulah Bankhead, who is an actress played by Natasha Lyonne. Natasha Lyonne is our resident straight woman who gets cast in every lesbian role. She
gets a pass because she's hot.
Like, we're okay with it. It's fine. But she,
we're not mad.
She's seen with her, like, the first moment that they're together. That's, even that is interrupted immediately by another reminder of, like, racism affecting Billie Holiday, right? They're not allowed to take the same elevator up to Tallulah's room. And it's, like, this whole thing, and that's all you really get to see. Like, you don't get to see any of the goodness in that, which is really sad. But I think what really bothered me was that, like, this film does have a lot of it has some really strong scenes, and even, like, some glimpses of joy in life within Billie Holiday, like, but they were few and they were far in between. And, like, they weren't supported properly by all the trauma porn surrounding it. Mm. And then when you start to think about it, like, a little too much, which I did, you realize, or I start to think that, like, this whole movie is just about drugs and what drugs did to a woman and what the war on drugs has done to, like, Black people in America, like, forever. And it's not fair that this movie that is about Billie Holiday is outshone by those drugs. It's outshone by, like, all this, you know, don't do drugs, just stop. Like, it's an intervention for who, for what? Like, this is, you know, not the film to do it on. And so, basically, this woman who left behind quite a legacy, who herself is a legend, like, had a film made about her that didn't do her any justice. The only person that really did her justice was Andra Day, who, like, is praised over and over in every single critic's, like, review that you can find. She's praised, like, mad. But then, you know, the rest of the film is just, it's confused. It's out of order. It doesn't know what to focus on. It's just, like, not it, you know? It's just, there's no focus there. And it's not doing any single topic justice. It's not calling out the feds enough. It's not calling out, like, the hypocrisy behind the war on drugs. It's not highlighting this woman's life, like, in a proper way. It's, like, really making her out to be nothing but a victim of everything and everyone. Like, there's just, like, what are you trying to say with this movie? You're not trying to say anything. You're just trying to, like, showcase trauma. That's it.
And you know why people eat that shit up. They're like, Black trauma? Give us more. Black people in pain?
Even white people were like, for what?
No, fuck that shit.
Even white people were like, no, I love the feds.
Fuck. fuck.
It didn't work.
So, and there's still so much to be said about, like, the censorship of Black people and Black women.
Yeah, like, can you say something about that? Can you say about the fact that she was over and over not allowed to sing the song she was most famous for a while? Like,
and that song. That song. Yeah. And what she did. That's balls. That still takes so much courage.
It did. Yeah, so, like, that moment with the elevator, like, was all a setup for her to go and, like, sing the song anyway and then get arrested for it. Like, it was just ridiculous how they did this film. It almost kind of felt like a movie that was good at first and then they took too many notes from the network and didn't push back and then it was ruined.
That seems right.
Like no pushback. Like, Empire, did you even try? Yeah, like, exactly. So it's pretty sad that, like, that something like this was kind of ruined, like, as far as plot goes. I think a lot of actors can watch this movie and be like, damn, hell yeah, what a film, because, like, acting wise, like, hell yeah,
she's killing it. Like, it wasn't fantastic. The actor's fault, they didn't write it, you know.
They did what they could with what they were given. Like, damn. So
I don't know,
it's a bummer. I have to give it, like, a full to the film, a full, like, 3 cafecitos, and then, like, zero for Underday. Like,
oh yeah, she's
fantastic. Yeah,
I had seen so many reviews by like Valerie Complex. She did a review on it, and she says it wasn't for her, and I trust her in all her reviews. So I was like, well, I mean,
like, who was it for? It wasn't for anybody. That just had I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. Again, when we get back to representation, is like, you know, you got to just tell your truth or tell a story and not try to, you know, buy into any of these ideas. I think he's just making the studio heads happy so he can keep making movies. I don't understand.
Maybe. But, like, okay, so this is the comparison that I found with Minari and the U.S. versus Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
There was, at the very beginning of the film, which was a storytelling tool that ended up being very useless. So mm-hmm. I don't even know why they included it in this way too long film. But she's being interviewed by this, like, white gay man played by Leslie Jordan. Mm-hmm. And he's being super insensitive. He's like, what's it like being a colored woman? Like, that's the first question out of his mouth. And it, of course, reminded me in Minari where the little kids are asking really stupid shit to the other kids, and they're like, can I try to say something in your language? And then they, like, go mad racist immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was reminded me of that, and that was where some of the comparison came in. But it was just, like, for what? Like, what did that add to the movie? Nothing.
But yeah, so 3 cafecitos. I'm glad I didn't watch it, because...
It's one of those, like, difficult things, because we've done this before where, like, we've talked about films that we were like, okay, yeah, like, I'm glad I watched it because of these reasons, but it's still a bad film. You know? Because Andre Day's performance was killer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to watch things just so that I can know why to be mad at them.
Oh. yeah, that's like,
just part of my personality.
You know what I started watching finally? Baker and the Beauty.
Remember when I talked shit about that movie, like, last year?
Yeah, I was like,
you should have done it the way that I did it. I skipped through and I only watched the parts with the daughter.
Oh, she's amazing. I really love her. She's so powerful and brave, and I wish I was her when I was, like, 16. Like, that's just,
I wish they would do a show just about her.
It would have probably, well, no,
because it wouldn't have been renewed. It wouldn't have been greenlit, but it would have been so good.
Yeah, for us, like, do a web series just for us. Come on, y'all. Yeah. But no, I really like the show.
Really, the whole thing.
Yeah, I do.
I thought it was really ridiculous and awful.
Yeah, they just start salsa dancing for no reason, and like you said, because exactly. They're mad. Like you
and
said.
They start salsa dancing. I can't. It makes me sick.
But I was thinking with, like, I was watching it with Glow, and then I was like, but damn, like, every time there's music in the kitchen, me and my mom do start. My mom does start, like, dancing, and I'm like,
stop perpetuating a stereotype.
But stereotypes are, like, there for a reason. Because I was damn, my mom really do be dancing in the kitchen, though. Like, that's not a lie. God. Like, every time our family gets together, we play music and we do start dancing around the table. Like, that's not a made up thing. We do it. But I mean, but not you don't everybody. Do it
while you're like stressed and you're like about to have, like, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, no, that was, it was very cartoony.
Yeah.
Exactly. A cartoon understanding of Latinos. But I mean, you know, the world's burning down and I'm like, cool. It's like
they turned Sofia Vergara's character from Modern Family into a show.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's the entire show, except the daughter.
Except the daughter. The daughter's great. She's... like, watch it. Just watch the daughter scenes only. Like, honestly, like, it works. Like, that's all you need from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. I continue to watch it for her because it just, there's so much there and it's so well done. And whoever wrote her character, like, you did great. You're not going to hear this, but just if you, you. Do, like, I'll bless, find out bless you and stuff. My little gay heart, like, you're the best. I wish we had all this shit when we were growing up. I would probably wouldn't need as much therapy. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Maybe we would need more. I don't know.
Or maybe more. Yeah, but.
But anyways, fellas and Faylas and Felix.
And non-binary babes. We love y'all.
Thank you for listening. Sorry we're a week late. But it's kind of hard to find shit to cover.
May's going to be great. May's going to be, like, popping.
Well, more like June, yeah.
June. Oh, June's... you know what comes out in May? Passing. And now we're finally getting our 1920s Harlem Renaissance black women.
What is Passing?
Passing. Yeah. With Tessa Thompson and... Rebecca Hall directed this. And we love what? Rebecca Hall. Yeah, she found out her grandfather passed in, like... that he was passing, and she was like, cool, I'm interested, I'm gonna make this movie. Ruth Negga, they said that she really fucking...
oh, she's great.
Yeah,
she's
they said great. That she did that shit. Ruth Negga, Tessa Thompson, and directed, and she wrote the, I think, the screenplay too. Shout out Rebecca Hall. I didn't know she had, like, one... she was That's one interesting. One eighth. That's why she has the top
we're laughing because of Miranda Cosgrove, guys.
Just yes, Miranda reference. Cosgrove. This is why she has a top lip, though. I'm jealous. That's why. She's...
okay.
Know. Anyways. Oh, man.
I think that's it for the show. So if you want to keep updated on the times that we managed to bring out an episode, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at CYC Podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. We're on Facebook, but, you know, it's just basically Instagram. And we have a website, cabronasychinganas.com, where we put show notes and links to all this random stuff that we talked about. And where you can also find where to support us, aka patreon.com/CYC Podcast, where you can listen to extra episodes every single month. If not, then we won't charge you. And then also you can buy our merch, teespring.com/something. I don't know. The link is there. I'll put it in the show notes and in the description of this episode, wherever you listen to it. Please leave us a review. I will send out stickers to you if you tell us that you did it. And yeah, that would be really awesome.
Yeah. We love y'all. And bye.
Bye.